Blog Talk Radio.
Represent their former employees in providing a weekly voice about their company as we do here at the EAL Radio Show. We bring you live talk from former employees, interviews with leading aviation authors, interviews with former and current presidents of Eastern Airlines, airline humor, serious airline real-life drama as told by former Eastern people. We have projects such as the first flight to introduce the new company back into the air and much, much more. It's been a trip for us here on the radio station. Let's introduce our host for tonight's show. Neil, who do you see there on the producer's board right now?
Oh, it's a pleasure looking at this board. It's completely filled, and it's always great to start off our shows with saying hello to our host and guests, finding out what's happening in their part of the country, especially the weather, and getting that weather update, and especially this time of year when so many folks will be traveling. Let's start off with who do I see out there? Oh, I see Steve Thompson, way up there in North Carolina, in Roaring Gap. Steve, how are things there?
Hello, Neil, and welcome, listeners, and hello from cold Roaring Gap. The temperature now on its way down is 26 degrees, and the forecast low for Wednesday night is 1 degree. But fortunately, no precipitation is forecast. But 1 degree is still cold. Back to you,
okay.
Neil.
Okay, let's move down to South Florida. No, well, let's see, Central Florida. Let's start off with Central Florida, because we got a lot of folks down in South Florida. But Chuck Albright, right around the villages close to Ocala, halfway, I don't know whether it's halfway between Ocala and Orlando, but at any rate, Chuck, how are things in the villages?
Well, you're right. We're about halfway, and we've had a great day today. Today was actually on the cool side. I think we got up to a balmy 76, I believe it was, and we're going to drop down somewhere a little into the 50s and 60s tonight. Thursday is going to be a coldie here. We're going to probably get somewhere around that 30-degree mark. I don't know how close we'll get, but the snowbirds have arrived, and I'm telling you, they are packed in here tighter than anything. So the golf courses are crowded, and the restaurants are just teeming. We have everybody that is anybody from up north down here at the villages. But you guys, come on down. I'd be glad to play a round of golf with you. Back to you,
Neil. You must be having traffic jams in those little golf carts all over the place, Chuck.
I'm telling you, I actually did get in a traffic jam at one. They're called circles. You go around these little circles to get to the different villages and stuff. And there was a traffic jam this morning when I left to go to Gainesville, because the grass cutters have these long trailers, and when they stop at the gate, of course, two or three of them stop. The last guy, he stopped all the traffic in the little circle there, and I had to wait a whole 5 minutes to make on with my journey to Gainesville.
Okay, let's hear from Cecile Intriago down just south of West Palm Beach, and Del Rey. Is that close enough? Oh, no, Fort Lauderdale area. Cecile, how are you tonight?
Great. I'm in Lighthouse Point right north of Fort Lauderdale, and the temperature today is kind of like where Jim Hart is. It was 81 degrees today, and right now it's 75 and beautiful, beautiful weather. Back to you.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's skip up to Georgia, where I see Jim Graybill. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Neil. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm afraid to say this, but the temperature's on its way down. It was about 41 at the high here today, and I don't know. It depends on who you talk to, where it's going to tonight and the rest of the week. So it's still a beautiful day here in Kennesaw, on Kennesaw Mountain.
Well, let's head a little bit east of where you are, Jim. And let's see. I don't know whether Gay is with us or not. Steve, Gay Harvey,
Gay,
are you with
can't
us?
Be with us tonight. She's still got family from the holidays.
Okay. Well, we were going to make a stop in Hilton Head, but we'll try that next week. But let's move on up to the northeast. And let's see. Up in the northeast, I see George Jen. George, how are things there on the island?
Well, it's gotten to be wintertime overnight here. And it's supposed to go down to 10 degrees tonight, which that's not the bad part. The tough part is the wind. It's about 30 miles an hour out of the northwest. So with that, I'll save a little bit for Frank, and back to you, Neil.
Okay, with Frank. Okay, right close to you. Frank, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm about 10 miles east of George, and I'm not looking forward to this cold week we got ahead of us. We're supposed to go down, like George said, about 10 degrees, and a little bit of light snow tomorrow.
Well, folks, let's see. Who did we forget?
Jim is here.
Yeah, and I got Jill Cotton up there in Asheville, North Carolina. Jill, do you have any snow on the mountains up there so we can go skiing?
Well, there is a little bit of snow on the top peaks, but that was due to the rain that we had, and then the wind chill factor was unbelievable here yesterday, or I should say last night. And I'm just down the hill from Steve, and we're going to have a balmy 7 degrees on Wednesday night. So I hear you.
Wow, wow. You know, I see another area code pop up on my producer's board here, area code 519. Who might that be? Area code 519. Who is that?
We haven't heard from Jim Hart, Neil.
Well, I'm on
519.
Okay. Well, just a minute, Cecile. We've got area code 519. Would you say that again?
Yeah, Renee McKinnon used to work at the Toronto Airport, YYC.
Okay, very good, Renee. Very good. And which airport did you work in?
Toronto.
Toronto. Okay, YYZ. Okay, now I recognize it. How are things? Are you still up in Toronto?
I'm down the road a little bit in London, Ontario.
Okay.
But and that's just about a 30-minute flight away. But I had a good time. I was also based in Miami and Washington for a while.
Oh, wow. Why in the world did you go back to, well, I guess, once from that area? How cold is it there now, Renee?
Tonight it's going down to about minus 15.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
And tomorrow it's going up
word.
To minus 9.
That's well, see, there. George, you're going to have a heat wave.
Yeah, it feels right. like it. Yeah. By the way, Neil, I got an email from John Ruths. He said that all the lines are busy. He's having trouble getting through.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think we've identified everyone. And so, now, again, it's Renee?
That's correct.
Okay. It's so good to have you with us tonight on our show, Renee.
It's my pleasure to be here. The first time I got on the radio with you guys.
Oh, great, great. We hope you come back often, and we want to get the Canadian report from time to time. So please be our guest as much as
I'll
you want to come back. We'll pump you for information up there in Canada.
Okay.
Enjoyed my flights to Montreal and Toronto, especially the Toronto area. Really enjoyed that. Okay, let's see. I think I've got everyone. So, Jim, I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jim. Except Jim Hart.
Yeah.
Jim.
Okay, thanks, Neil. I just wanted to mention to Renee the difference between his coming temperature and our current temperature. Just unbelievable. And a friend of mine used to say in Toronto, you know, there are no more brass monkeys left up here anymore. But I just want you to say, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, West Palm Beach is beautiful at this time. And if you have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat these numbers, 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. And remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone if you wish to connect live with us on what we call the queue. Neil, back to you.
Okay, Jim, just as a reminder to our listeners, you can tune us in by going to websites, www.ealradioshow.com, ealradioshow.com, and just click the arrow in the circle of the radio icon, or you can go to our sponsor, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website, and there, clicking the radio show's icon on that homepage, their site is www.repaonline, REPAONLINE. So either one of those. Now, our server is blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. That's a lot, so we recommend the first two that I just told you about, EAL Radio Show and Repo Online. That's a good way of getting on our radio show at 7 p.m. every Monday, where we start our broadcast, our live broadcast. Jim?
Yeah, Neil, let's go ahead and start the engine for our show tonight.
Are we going to pull out a jet or are we going to pull out a recip aircraft? Which one are we going to start up?
Oh, that's a recip. It brings tears to your eyes.
About a Martin 404.
Yeah, but
all right.
No, the 404 is too smooth.
Let's start up an R2800. I don't care what kind of airplane.
Yes.
R2800. That's what we got out here. Here we go.
Clear.
And that's
what
they sound
like. Has somebody been working on this engine?
Yeah, Chuck.
Hey, you know, you pilots are all alike. You want to get out there and get the poor guy in a greasy old engine? I could have had a nice, clean jet engine out there just flowing like you never go before. But no, you got to give me...
Well, what's a jet engine?
Yeah,
the big vacuum cleaner.
Starting an engine without white smoke is just, I don't know. That just doesn't cut it for me.
Neil, what's our show about tonight?
Well, our show is like the old Seinfeld series. It's about nothing. But at any rate, I think we'll try to do something with nothing here. We thought we'd ask our host and listeners what their favorite memories or events in their life during 2014. We hear and read the media's top stories every year at this time. So now we would like to listen to what happened to you this past year. Jim, we've even inserted some old songs over the past several decades we think you will remember and want to hear. So if we have a little idle conversation, that do we have a little airspace time there or blank space, then we'll insert one of these songs, these favorite songs about 50 or 60 years ago. And let's start our show off with this old favorite. I don't know. Let's see if you can guess how many years ago this song was played, and you heard it and probably even danced to it, maybe. Venture as to the singers of that Love is a Many Splendored Thing?
I thought that solo was you, Neil.
I think it was a little bit before my time, but wasn't it the Mills Brothers?
Well, it sounds like them, but it's a popular song, and the music, first of all, was by Sammy Fain. And it was from a movie, Love is a Many Splendored Thing, that won an Academy Award for the Best Original Song. And it was 1967 to 73. It was very popular. The best-selling version of the song was recorded by what you just heard, the Four Aces. The Four Aces, recorded on the Decca Records let's see, that's about all I know about it. That's all I got about it. But now, about the show. Who would like to tell us, first of all, about what your thoughts were for 2014 as far as whether you had a personal event in your life that you want to share with us, or perhaps there was a story that was... that got you during 2014 that you want to talk about or whatever you want to talk about. Anyone want to step up to the plate?
Yeah, Neil, Jim is here, and I'll do that. But, you know, first, someone is breathing very heavily into their microphone. If you could check that, please. I would like to start off by mentioning that for many years we used to originate my part of this program from the island of Martha's Vineyard. And it was just a beautiful time, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to do that this last year. We learned in early April that my wife had breast cancer, and unfortunately, with a series of operations and radiation and all of these things, we never did get to the island until the middle of August, which really cut things short for us. As much as we love that island, we had to get back here a little earlier this year, and we're looking forward to going back up again around the very 1st of June. It was quite a traumatic experience for us, and for all of you folks who have gone through the same experience, you know what I'm talking about. Hopefully now things have quieted down a bit, and it looks like we'll go ahead and maybe a little bit earlier this year go ahead with mammograms and all of those crazy things that have to be done. And so that was really our summer and the most, interesting and upsetting thing that happened to us in the year 2014. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, and we've had Trudy in our prayers, Jim, and we've thought of her so many times, and we hope that things will work out real well for her and for you, and just keep us posted as to what's going on with the procedures.
Thank you, Neil.
Okay, let's see. Who's next? Don't all speak at once.
I was just thinking the same thing, Neil. Since we're talking on the medical front, I'll just jump in here. March 18th, I had a hip replaced. And I was kind of a, you know, not knowing. I knew the procedure, but I didn't know how long it was going to take me to recover. But by the 2 months mark, I was hiking over mountaintops. So it was a very good. I had a little assistance, let's put it that way. But I was doing really well by that point in time. And if anybody ever fears a hip replacement, it's a wonderful thing.
Jill, I've heard some people really complain about hip replacements. They have problems with it, and yours went real smoothly, right?
It was unbelievable. I was up walking less than a week behind the surgery with just a cane. It was unbelievable. I swear by my doctor, but it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I have to have the other one replaced. And everybody's saying, well, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And I said, well, he's told me I'll know when it's ready. But it has been, I mean, to be able to go hiking and stuff like that 2 months after I had surgery was just phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Usually, if you have one hip replacement, does it mean that you've got the other one to go through, or can you just have one hip, whichever hip's bothering you? What's the deal there?
Well, I took a serious fall on terrazzo flooring in 2008, and I had literally cracked. I shouldn't say cracked, but I had a hairline fracture in my right hip, and, of course, that's the one that I had replaced. But the fall was so hard, it also damaged my left hip. And it also has done damage to my shoulders, but he swears he's not going to do a shoulder replacement on me. But sometimes you need the other hip replaced, sometimes you don't. And it's all in what you've gone through.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad things are working out real well for you, and you're hiking those North Carolina mountains, Jill.
That I am.
Neil, Cecile here. I have a story to tell, if I might.
Sure, Cecile.
A couple of weeks ago, first week in December, I took my grandson, age 6, to his first football game. It was the Dolphins, Miami Dolphins versus Baltimore Ravens. And we had a friend that gave us some tickets, and they were on the 50-yard line. So they were awesome tickets. But to see a 6-year-old face when he walked into the stadium was awesome. And he didn't know anything about football, but he got up and yelled, "Go Dolphins." We decided to pick opposing teams to make it fun. So he wrote us, he must have seen on TV that you write. He goes, "Nanny, give me a paper." And he goes, "Go Dolphins." I go, "Well, I got to say, go Ravens." So we each were holding up signs, and it was the most fun that you can experience from a 6-year-old's eyes. So that was my moment of 2014. And by the way, the Baltimore won 27 to, I think, 10. So it was really exciting time for football fans. It was fantastic.
Cecile, do you think he's a Dolphin fan now forever?
Yes, probably yes. when he was yelling, "Go Dolphins," and then when the Ravens scored, he'd go, "You dog, Nanny." And I go, "Well, you know, you got to win and you got to lose." So it was hysterical. And we were on the Ravens side, so it was very hot. And I had a bottle of water, so I poured water on his head. He got the biggest kick out of that to cool him off. It was just unbelievable excitement on my part. And it was a fun game to boot.
He'll probably wind up knowing the complete history and Dan Marino and all the things that the Dolphins were known for.
Right. I'm going to try. Yeah, Dan, you're right, except the quarterback for the Ravens has my same birthday, January 16. So I told him, "Well, I'm just going to write him and have him send us a football. I'll see if that pans out, all right?"
All right. Okay. who else has a story out there? Anyone?
Neil.
Steve, go ahead. You first.
Okay. I had a fun year, because I was involved in politics in the local chapter here in Allegheny County where I live. And I got involved going to the Republican meetings and seeing how it was just in a total disarray, and I came up with some ideas that they should incorporate. One was being an improved website to alert the members as to what was going on. And the next thing I know that I am appointed to the executive committee, simply because I was, if you don't want to get involved into something, don't volunteer to do any work. I volunteered to do some work, and the next thing I know, I'm on the executive committee, and they're trying to get me to run for chairman of the party. I brought that up to my wife, and I said, "I'm thinking about it." She says, "Well, you better think about a divorce also if you're going to do that." But I did accept the job as manager of the local office, and we worked our little butts off to get our party nominees elected in a county where the dominant party was the opposition. But we did, and our senatorial elector is going to be, I think he was sworn in today in a county where we won by 25%, which was unheard of. Nobody believed it. And that was a very fun year working in the party. And I got involved simply by going to the meetings and asking questions and offering suggestions. So that was fun, and that's the extent of my involvement, because any more than that is very expensive and very time consuming if done the right way.
Steve, I've got a question.
I had a medical issue that was I had an ICD installed in my chest, which it's a pacemaker as well as I needed to have my brain replaced, as you can tell. It's an ICD as well as a defibrillator. At any rate, that was quite an experience, and since then my heartbeat is 72 beats a minute, regardless of what I'm doing. So hopefully that's going to carry me through another few years. But the political experience was really great, and I've enjoyed politics for many, many years. I started when I was based in New York, and I was on a layover somewhere, and there was a LaSalle matchbook cover there saying, earn your law degree at LaSalle University. And it was you could sign up and pay them, I don't know what the value was, but pay them for enrolling in the course, and they sent me, I think, about 75 books that I could read while I was on shuttle standby. But you had to take your final exams in front of a notary public, and my wife agreed to become a notary public, so that helped on the final exams.
Did you pass it, Steve?
Yes, I did.
Do you have Esquire after your name now?
Yeah. The only place I could take the bar exam was Montana, and I didn't bother going out there.
I thought you would say the Philippines.
that may have been the place.
Close enough.
First, I got two questions for you, or actually one statement, Steve, and two questions. Number one, I saw you here about 2 weeks ago, you and your friends from Roaring Gap, North Carolina, a wonderful couple that you and Glenda came down to Jacksonville, visited my area, and I think you're both coming back February, and we'll stay the month of February. So it was so nice to see both you and Glenda again. I've known Steve and Glenda for many years in the Gainesville, Georgia area, and good to see you, Steve. But the question I would have for you, one question is, first of all, how would one really want to enter into politics? I mean, you have no interest right now, and all of a sudden you decide, hey, I want to make the big money, and so I want to get into politics. But seriously, how would one go about, kind of like what you did, Steve?
I think so. I mean, that's all I know now, unless you have a name that is recognizable and you go out and hire some people. They're professional people who will get you involved in politics if you want to run as a candidate for some office. But the easiest way is, I think, is to get involved in your local political party. And just talk to the people, talk to the leaders in the party, and you can see what needs to be done and tell them of your interest, and they'll rally around you and get you started.
Very good. And the second question was, are you going to run in 2016?
No, sir. I don't think so.
Unless he wants to run single.
I'm not going to go there. I have to stop this or I'll get in trouble.
Okay.
That's what happens when you're in politics.
Yeah,
that's
right,
true.
You're always in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, Jim Graybill, I think you were behind Steve, and you wanted to tell me what... your thoughts were for 2014.
Well, I'm kind of like Steve there on the medical end of it. I had a pretty serious heart operation, and they tell me I was on the operating table about 6.5 hours. So, anyway, boy, on my part, anyway, when you realize you're going in for something that serious, you just start thinking a little bit differently than you did before. Yeah. Or at least I did anyway. It makes a big difference in your life.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, my health's been real well. Let's see. George, Jen, I think you've got something that you want to share with us.
Sure. Obviously, my largest personal event of the past year was the publication of my nonfiction book, Final Destination Disaster, What Really Happened to Eastern Airlines by Changing Lives Press. And I think it's really appropriate to be on the Eastern radio show discussing the book. There is, however, a bit of history pertaining to that book that I've never before spoken about. Sometime after the turn of the century, I was attempting to find a literary agent to represent my novel, Flying Too Close to the Sun. A friend of mine from town here at the time had written a nonfiction book about Yogi Berra. It was entitled, I Really Didn't Say All the Things I Said, or something to that effect. And he had a literary agent by the name of Daryl McNicholas. Daryl had a large agency located out here on Long Island. And my friend introduced me to him after telling him that I had written a novel that he might be interested in. After reading it, Daryl agreed to represent me. Several months later, we met in his office to go over a few things about the novel, and I happened to mention my Eastern Airlines book to him. Well, he was very interested in reading that manuscript, and after reading it, he loved the book and asked me if he could also represent me. So we signed a contract for that book also. It was a short time later, Daryl moved to L.A., in order to pursue movie as well as book deals. But prior to leaving, he asked if he could continue to represent me for both of my books. And, of course, I told him, sure. I mean, yeah, I was flying for another major airline. It wasn't something I had on the front burner, so why not? Well, a little over a year later, out of the blue, he called and told me that he had the Eastern book sold to an unnamed publisher, but that he also had the book sold first as a movie to Harrison Ford's production company. He asked if I could fly to California to meet with the producers. It was a husband and wife team. I left the following day, drove up to Hollywood, and the four of us met at the producer's home for lunch. We agreed to many, many items that day, and as the agent, Daryl was supposed to put all of this into a contract for our signatures. He told me that he was currently working on another movie deal, and he'd get back to me with the final contract in about 3 weeks. Well, over a month passed, and I never heard anything back from him. A few days later, my buddy who had introduced me to him called and told me that Daryl had passed away. I didn't even have the producers' names or phone numbers, so when Daryl passed away, so did that movie deal on the book. But fortunately, Changing Lives Press picked it up last year. So just a little tidbit about it, you know.
George,
wow.
Yeah, your book really, well, first of all, both of your books should be movies. And I really enjoyed Flying Too Close to the Sun, a very great aviation novel that kept you guessing until the very last chapter as to who done it. And so what a great, great book that was. And then the one that you have stirred the thoughts and words of so many Eastern people that I have received in emails about your book. And I think I've sent them back over to you. But people are not believing what they read in that book, George. that you did great research on, and I just hope that somehow word gets out about this book and it becomes a number one bestseller. I don't know whether it's on the New York Times or whether they take books like yours, historical or factual. I guess they're nonfiction. I guess it's the category they're in, nonfiction. Books like yours that need to be told. And right now, even the Senate and the Congress ought to look into what happened to Eastern Airlines back in the time that, you know, we were all involved in this part of our lives. But it's a very good book, and I think I've not heard any negative comments about your book, George.
Well, someone had told me there was a negative review posted on the Amazon website. I took a look at it, and, you know, I mean, whoever wrote it, I forget the gentleman's name, but he's certainly entitled, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I just hope that the book, the last book, brought closure to people who might have had questions over the ensuing years about really what went on to destroy the airline that we all knew and loved so much. I mean, that was what drove me, and I hope that it did that, it served that purpose. And as far as the toughest part is getting the word out there is the publicity. I mean, you played the interview that I did on the Alan Nathan show, and you know, but that was only just a small part of it. My publicist is working on, hopefully, you know, getting on some TV shows about it or things of that nature. So we'll see where it goes. You know, you never know.
Hello?
Jim Graybill. Jim Graybill, I've just got to read that book for the second time, and I'm probably going to read it for the third time. It's just absolutely amazing to me and really mind-boggling that something like that could go on and nobody on the airline knew it. It just, you know, it just, I can't come up with the correct English to say how, anyway. It was extremely well done, George. I really, really enjoy that book.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate the comment very much.
I thought I heard
Hello, George.
Another. George? Yeah, Jill?
Linda Brooks.
Linda.
How are you? George, I just finished reading the book last week, and I was astounded because, you know, I fled of D.C. for many years in Miami, and you always heard things about the drug problem and everything, and then when they tried to investigate the airline and the first Bush president, you know, he vetoed the investigation. But I'm sitting there just almost chills down my spine that would happen to our airline. But all I can say, you're very brave to write it. It's an amazing book. I hope you get more, you know, media on it, because people need to know what's going on in this country, even today, where you and I don't count anymore. It's just the lowest common denominator. But the book was very well done, very detailed, and I thank you for writing it. You did a really good job.
Well, thank you very much for the comments. I really appreciate it. And it, unlike the book that Neil mentioned, the first one, of course, this one wasn't any fun to write, knowing how many people's lives were negatively impacted by what happened there. I mean, there were literally people whose lives were totally destroyed. And like I said, that's really the impetus, the thing that kept me going over the years to complete that book. And I mean, there were times where I was ready to say, pack it in and say, you know, let it go, but I just couldn't do it. And I'm glad that, you know, finally got out there.
Well, George, thank you, because I was on a cruise and I was talking to a flight attendant from Air Canada who had retired, and we talked about what happened to Eastern. You know, I lost my pension, the preferred stock, all that. And she said that would never happen in Canada. They would not let that happen. That they allowed us to, I mean, if they went bankrupt, that's okay. But the things you should have accumulated over the years, you're invested, that you lost everything, it was humiliating. You lost your you know, your identity was working for Eastern. It was almost, it doesn't go away. The feeling does not go away.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, George. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the comments. I appreciate that.
George, thank you so much for writing that book from all of us, the Eastern family.
Oh, thank you, Neil.
Did I forget anyone? Does anyone else have a...
Yourself. Well, Bob Furman's here. I'd like to say something.
Hey, Bob Furman. Yes, go ahead and say something.
Well, there are still things going on. And if anybody didn't, they must go see the movie Unbroken. It's referenced in that movie about Eddie Rickenbacker and his 24 days on the life raft. Because those wonderful soldiers of ours spent 44 days before the Japanese picked them up. So it's referenced in the book about Rickenbacker. And that movie's also a wonderful expression about faith in God. And I think that was tantamount amongst the people of Eastern, because we all had the heritage of Eddie Rickenbacker. So I want to say something, and I don't want to sound like I'm beside myself, but it's true. Have you all heard of a BOGO deal, B-O-G-O, you get a buy one, get one deal? Well,
yeah.
I have a witness called messageoftruth.com. That's just messageoftruth.com. And I founded it because of what happened over the years in the inspiration led by Eddie Rickenbacker. I read his book 6 months before I ever got hired. And so in that light, which Neil knows and George knows and other folks know, I just witnessed to a man in Dick's Sporting Goods on March 5th, 2013. And I said to him, Greg, do you know the love of Christ in your life? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, you can get to this messageoftruth.com by ask the one, get life free. And he says, well, it sounds like a BOGO God deal to me, Bob. And I said, I'll go get the domain. Well, I got the domain BOGOJesus.com. And then I'm laughing in front of the computer and said, I can't use it unless it gets credibility and reverence. Well, in my next men's meeting, which happened to be Lou Rabbit's men's meeting, many people know him, the study for the day was James 2:18 and 19. 18 says, I'll show you my faith by my works. 19 says, you believe one God, this is good. And I said, that's all three letters, Lord, we got it. So BOGO Jesus became a domain, www.bogojesus.com. And I sent out some Christmas cards this Christmas to about 120 people with that in it. That domain then generated on Google for www.bogojesus.com to become number one in that verbiage venue, in that search engine. So if you go to BOGO Jesus, or Google BOGO Jesus, let's just put it that way, Google BOGO Jesus, B-O-G-O Jesus, just Google it, it'll take you to Message of Truth. And that's for the spirit of the people of Eastern Airlines that knew Eddie Rickenbacker and would not only say no what happened to us, like this nice lady before says, still feel it and it hurts. We would not only say no, but we said God no to what happened to us. So if I'm beside myself, it's for the good Lord. If not, it's for the edification of people that I love. And that's our tradition, and it's there. So go Google BOGO Jesus and send that all around the world as a message about the families of Eastern and the good people of this nation, that we won't be pushed around this way. We'll do it in the love of God and just try to do our best like we did. So thank you for listening, Neil, and having me talk.
Thanks, Bob. And before we get into further comments, let's listen to this song that dates back to, you guessed, the year.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss. Add one stolen night of bliss.
The memories you gave me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
The memories you gave me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave.
and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this. Then at the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell, three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the day, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor. With his blessings from above,
you can't beat the memories you gave to me.
Serve it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave to me.
One man, one wife, one love, true life, memories are made of this. Memories are made of this.
It's a popular song written in 1955, and the most popular version of the song was recorded by Dean Martin. And it reached the number one on the Billboard chart for 6 weeks in 1956 and became his best hit, Dean Martin's best hit. So that's the song in the 50s. My thoughts were about the book 2014 that I finally completed, we finally completed. When I say we, I had some help in the book that we finally sent to the publisher to be published, and right now having a few glitches in the publication of that book. It's called The Wings of Man, and it actually is has a Y at the end of Y of Man, and it's really titled The Wings of Many, and it's the stories by many people of Eastern Airlines. It's their stories. And it's found in a beautiful cover illustrated by Captain Jerry Frost from Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful picture of Atlanta Hartsfield Airport with all the aircraft over Atlanta Airport and the airplanes that Eastern had in its fleet through the years. And the stories that are in that book are just fantastic as far as I'm concerned. And we hope that you will enjoy reading these stories. The publication is about, I guess, before we do the final approval on it, it's about 2 weeks away. And hopefully we'll say, okay, everything is right now, so let's go to press. And at that time, we'll be taking orders. It's a reasonably priced book. It's a softback, but it has the stories of people of Eastern Airlines in it. Now, we did the first book. It's about 220 pages long, 200 somewhere around there, and there are about 40 some stories in it, 40 plus stories, 40 to 50 stories in it, and we decided that. That there are so many stories out there remaining to be told, or either to be read, they are already told, to be read, that we decided to put book number two out. So we're working on book two, or part two, or volume two, or whatever you want to call it. We haven't decided yet. But volume one should be out in the next 2 weeks. So hopefully you guys listening might want to order. It's going to be a very modest price, and any of the profits made on this sale of this book is going to go back into our radio show and the website, the EAL radio show website. So we're not making a fortune on this book. I don't think anyone is going to call us for book signing, George, for our book, but our book is, in the intent of the book, is to share stories about Eastern Airlines, the love of our lives. And I'm sure anyone working for Eastern Airlines, they understand what the love of our life is and our love of our life, of course, with the exception of our family. But the love of my life has been Eastern Airlines. I talk about it every day. And I think most people that were members of the Eastern family do the same. So we want to share those stories with our people. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to sell a few of the books and be able to pay for our shows in 2015, the broadcast that we do every Monday in 2015, and also share the cost of the website. Anyone else have a comment that they want to make before we go off the air? We've got several minutes, but go ahead and make your comment. I'd appreciate it.
How will you be able to purchase the book, Neil?
Well, that's the next show, Jill. Thank you.
Okay.
Is that Jill?
I'll
is
be
that
waiting
Jill?
For that answer.
Well, let me tell you that we will be promoting it through the website. And for those folks listening to us now that did not join us through our website, EAL Radio Show, then I would suggest that you go to that website, EAL Radio Show, and sign in, register yourself as a member. There are no charges. Just register yourself, and you'll be able to see all the wonderful stuff that's going on with Eastern Airlines, the old and the new Eastern Airlines, I might add. And sign in and become one of our listeners and members of the website, and there we'll tell you how to order the book, and we'll send it right out to you, but it's going to be very reasonable, and I think you'll like to add that to your Eastern memories, and possibly book two, volume two, that we're working on now. My great friend Howard Mucci, who is 93 years of age, has kept me inspired enough to want to continue to do book number two. And he's worked with me on book number one. He and Alexa Conway, they have done just a wonderful job on this volume number one, book number one. And we're working on book number two, so I appreciate their help, and I hope you will enjoy it if you order it, the book. It's not going to be a movie type of book, but there are plenty of stories in this book volume number one, that could be movies, absolutely. From when you read it, the stories that are shared back from 1928 and up to, you know, when Eastern went under. I think you'll enjoy reading that. So that's my infomercial right now, and that's what I've done for the year. Any questions?
Yeah, Neil, is a situation in that book that just you and I know about?
No. I'll probably do it in the next book. Jim, you write it and I'll put it in there.
Well, they don't tell them. Public, man.
Neil, I just want to congratulate
but it's a good,
you.
Thank you, George. believe me, it's not up to your caliber, but I think you'll enjoy the read.
Neil, this is Chuck.
Chuck, go ahead.
Well, I don't have a book out other than it's in my brain somewhere, and it'll probably stay there. I did have two incidents in my life this past year that impact me a little. First one was, I think I had mentioned it to the crew here, is I had bladder cancer, and I was operated on and had some chemo done, and I am now a cancer survivor like a lot of people out there. So that was one of the things that impacted me. And then at the first of the year, I think I told you about the story of my wife getting a demo ride for just a little Cessna 172. And we went over there, and I already made plans with one of the teachers there to take me up and just fly me around the villages here and show me what's going on, because it was it's a growing community. And when I got there, he wasn't there. He was taking a student out. So there was a guy behind the counter, and he says, "Well, I'll take you out." And I says, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "Well, I just own the place." He says, "I got a pilot's license. I can take you out." I said, "Okay." So we started to walk out, and he looked at my wife, who was sitting on the couch. She was going to wait till we get back. And he says, "Well, come on, young lady. You can go with me and your husband." And she says, "Well, I didn't pay for me." He says, "I did tell you I own the place, you know." So we got out, and we picked out a plane and did a walk around and everything. And for me, I hadn't flown a plane in 30 years. And when we got out to the end of the runway, he says, "Well, your wife paid for this, and you said you knew how to fly a plane." He says, "There's the runway, and you've got the plane." And I took it off and flew it around, and we stayed out, and we went over to see John Travolta's house. He had a 707 sitting out back of his house and two other small jets, and we came on back around, and I landed the plane, and we stopped down at the end, and he taxied it in. And that was one of the biggest thrills of my life, so to speak, at this current part of my life. I know you guys that fly the big jets, flying a 172 after 30 years probably isn't much, but it's just like...
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Anytime you pull an airplane off the ground and get in the air, it's a big deal.
It was for me, because I'm telling you, when he said, "You're going to fly it," I said, "Geez, I wonder if I can remember everything." But it comes back, and I had a really good time. So those two incidents marked my past year, and plus the really nice time I have living here in the villages. I could go on for hours and tell you about all the things that are here, but we're growing. We're up to 130,000 people and almost 56,000 homes, and we have about 53 golf courses now, so it's going to get a little bit bigger. So I want to wish everybody out there a Happy New Year's on my behalf and my wife, because we enjoy the show, and I enjoy being part of the crew. Back to you, Neil.
Same
for me.
Neil, Bob Furman, real quick.
Bob, go ahead.
I thought that was a great flying story, one of the best I've ever heard, because how often do I get to hear a story about a pilot showing off to his girlfriend?
There you go.
I like the comment when you pull it, Jim Rayville, I think you said, when you pull an airplane off the ground and put it back on the ground, that whether it's a J3 Cub or a mighty 747, who cares?
It's wonderful.
Yes. That's right, Neil. Time you do it, it's a different experience. So.
Yes,
I love it.
Golly, Pete, it's been a great show tonight. It really has. I've enjoyed every minute of it, and wish we could continue, but we'll do it the next Monday. We'll have another show for you. Don't know what it's going to be about. You got any suggestions, folks, please just go to our website, ealradioshow.com, and there's a Contact Us page. Contact us with any questions you have, any suggestions that you have for 2015, our new year, and we'll be happy to consider it and possibly put your show on the air. We enjoy doing these shows, all of us. We love to talk about Eastern Airlines. I think everyone has expressed themselves about the new year. So, therefore, I think I hear Jim Hart.
Yes, you do, certainly, Neil. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. We hope we are doing so here at the Eastern Airlines Radio Show.
Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees, friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m., flight number 199, march the gate for a new adventure into 2015. Be on board for the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. All the gang here at our radio studio and remote locations, we all say all together now, good night and happy
night,
New
happy
Year,
New
Eastern
Year.
Family.
Good night,
happy
New Year.
Year.
Happy New
good
Year.
Year.
Sweet.
Good night,
everyone. Happy New Year.
Same to you.